Hello and welcome to Inbound Raleigh, a podcast about transportation in the city of Oaks. I'm James.
And I'm Jennifer. Before we get to our show today, we have a few updates. Some sad news first. One of the people we interviewed for our episode about the track system recently passed away. In episode 27, we talked to James Benton, who not only used the system, but sat on a few related boards, and we're going to link to his obituary in the show notes. So thanks again to James for being part of our show. In other news, more positive news, the West Street Cycle Track Project is moving forward. They had an open house this month, which I swung by, and residents had the chance to go over there and learn a little bit more about the project. I stopped in for a moment, and Harry at Oaks and Spokes, who's been on our show before, he told me they're aiming to get it set up by May. That's episode number 25, if you want to go back and listen. And the project does still need donations, so I'm going to link to that project in the show notes, too. And finally, we are scheduling a date for our next reader-listener meetup. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, last year we hosted a little social event, a mixer, if you will. I teamed up with Leo, who blogs at dtraleigh.com, and Jed at Oak City CRE. And together we invited our readers, or listeners in my case, to stop by, say hi, and chat about geeky stuff like development and transit. Well, that seemed to be a big hit, so we're doing it again. This time it's James and I here, and Leo, and then another blogger, Lindsay, who... her blog is called Welcome to Raleighwood. I'm going to put those details on our social media accounts, but we are all set for February 20th at 5:30 p.m. at Tobacco Road in Raleigh. So mark your calendars. We hope to see some of you there.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I had to miss the last event. I was out of town, but I'm really looking forward to this, meeting our thousands of listeners. So now on to our show for today. In case you hadn't noticed, it's winter. In fact, winter is half the reason for our episode. Our first episode of the year is coming out in February and not January. Usually it seems we get snow about once a year, but we had two snowfalls in January, and hopefully that'll be the end of it.
Yeah, although somebody's saying we're going to get some more snow on Sunday, Monday, but I haven't gotten that confirmed, so we'll see. Anyway, according to some climate data I found, Raleigh has averaged 7 inches of snow a year over the last 68 years, which seems super high to me, because I know there's been years where we've gotten none.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Double check that.
I guess that's like total snowfall over the winter, though. So if you get an inch.
Yeah.
Seven times.
And you know how averages work, so there must have been like some big snows in there somewhere.
Yeah, because it's not a median number, so.
Yeah.
Median's way better. So obviously, you know, now is a good time of the year to talk about snowfall and ice and how this impacts transit and transportation in Raleigh. So that is what our episode is about today.
Yeah, and of course, we can't discuss this without bringing up some, you know, snowfall rants. Not ours, just the general ones.
Yeah, like from Northerners like myself, who complained about how Southerners can't drive in the snow, although I'd argue they can't drive in regular weather either. But Northerners, their problem is they're a little too confident in the snow. Really, ice doesn't make any distinction where you're from or how you drive. It's dangerous and deadly for everyone. So, yeah.
Well, and that is a good rant people have. And during this last snowfall, the early one, January 4th, I think it was, I heard from a friend that his police officer, a friend of his, was out responding to accidents, and they were all from confident Northerners who thought they knew what they were doing. So, you know, maybe people from the South have something. We should all just stay home and drink hot chocolate and play video games.
That's fair. Although, I don't know if it's drink hot chocolate so much as drink milk and eat bread, because that is a real meme that I saw at the grocery store twice in January. Because I drink a lot of milk, and they were almost completely sold out of the normal brands. They just had, like, the weird stuff that I don't like. Like, made by, like, True Moo instead of Food Lion brand, if that makes sense.
It does, but really, isn't it all milk, James?
It is, but Food Lion is better. It just tastes better. I don't know. But, you know, I think part of the problem is that the North does get more snow, and each year everyone sort of relearns how to drive carefully. And, you know, on top of that, cities up there, they're a lot more prepared for removal, and the schools continue to stay open unless it's really bad, because if they didn't, they'd be closed half the winter, and then kids would be in school all year.
Yeah, I know I went to school in Illinois, and I really wished they would close school more often than they did, so I can understand the kids here probably get excited about it.
Absolutely.
And that is a rant people have, is that things just completely shut down. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that was odd when I first got here. But, and for example, like this last one, I work in marketing, so I can work from home, I got a computer, whatever. I had a call scheduled with someone, so I went ahead and called her on schedule, and she's like, oh, I didn't think you'd be working today. And I'm like, well, why? I work in marketing. Like, yeah. Who cares? But I've kind of learned to embrace the whole shutdown thing. It's, you know, it makes the snow fun and exciting.
Yeah.
And, of course, everyone is a lot safer staying home. And, you know, you can work from home anyway. A lot of people who work in tech in this area. So the only challenge now is I have a toddler who bounces off the walls, and that does make it a little more difficult to get things done.
Yeah, I can imagine. I had the good fortune of I worked from home a good bit in January, so the snow didn't really affect me. I just got to sit there and stare at it as it fell down for about 12 straight hours. Some of my coworkers are actually out at Duke, and they got stranded there overnight. One guy had gone to school there, so he was able to stay at his old frat house, which is pretty neat that he was able to do that. And then everyone's making giant snowmen. And like you said, it was just an event, and everyone had fun. So I was kind of jealous, but not too jealous because I'd rather have been home. But, you know, I feel bad for the people who have to get up and go to work no matter what, you know, especially those who walk, bike, or rely on the bus to get to work. So we'll talk more about that in a moment.
Yeah, and I guess because we don't plow as much here, we might not be able to get out as quickly. And I think that causes some problems for people who are complaining about these, you know, everything shuts down for a couple of days.
Right,
And usually the snow melts in a day or two. But maybe that's the other reason the whole grocery store thing bugs me. It's because, okay, people, don't worry. We're going to get to the grocery store like tomorrow or the day after. how desperately out of groceries are
you
really?
Yeah, how desperately do you need all that stuff? And for me, the food line was open like the next day after the snowfall. So I walked up there because my car was snowed in. But, you know, they were open. Good for them.
Well, and speaking of walking, one of the things I asked people on social media, hey, share your rants with me. And I pretty much just got one answer, as usual. hey, people, come on. They were complaining that snowplows push dirty snow onto the sidewalks. And, hey, walking is one of the safest ways to get around after snow. So that kind of sucks. And then those piles take a lot longer to melt, which I thought was a really excellent point. So I have seen people give up and just walk on the street, which probably isn't very safe just in case a car does hit some ice and slides right into you.
Yeah, you know, it's weird to me. I actually saw it. I was down at Duke this week, and I saw there was still, like, a small snow pile. And I don't know how that happens. Up north, they'll have snow piles in parking lots almost through the summer because I don't know what's in there. It's, like, the gravel and the salt and something. It's, like, it preserves the snow. It's weird, and it looks really
big
gross.
Block. Yeah. So is it time to talk about some famous snow incidents?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And those are always a lot of fun. The big one, of course, is the 2005 ice storm. And I imagine a lot of people who are in Raleigh now were not here for this because that was 13 years ago, which is nuts. But we're linking to the National Weather Service's assessment of it here in the show notes. You know, obviously, I didn't live here then either, but I heard it was a complete gridlock, even though it was just under an inch of snow and ice. I guess ice was the real problem. We talked to Steve Abbott, the spokesperson for the NCDOT, about how they handle snow and ice, and he said one of the primary reasons that happened is because they weren't brining the roads back then. And we'll hear more from him on that in a bit.
Yeah, it sounds like that's been a great solution. What a mess. Yeah, it apparently power's out for days. People basically left their cars on the road. People got stuck on 40. Kids stayed at school overnight. The other big one, and I was here for this, and you were too, I think, was Snowmageddon 2014. I mean, who can forget the famous photo of Glenwood that went viral? And this is probably one of those things that gives us Southerners now the reputation of not knowing how to drive in the snow because what happened?
Right.
I did find a link to the RL story, the WRL story about the woman who took that picture. I was lucky that day. I live and work downtown, so whatever. And my husband came home early from RTP, thank goodness. So we didn't have to deal with it. But I was looking online. I'm like, oh my God. Glad I'm out there.
Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely, that's one of those days you'll always remember just because I think what happened was they were talking about snow, but it wasn't enough to close businesses down or anything. So around 12:30, it started to snow. And then by 1 o'clock, they realized how bad it was getting. So pretty much every business in the entire region dismissed their employees at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, right when the snow was starting to get bad. I was in Cary, so I usually just take the Beltline up to Capitol Boulevard where I live, and it took me, I want to say, between 4 and 6 hours to get home.
Wow.
And a big portion of that was just getting out of Cary because people were just stuck, and, you know, they, even on the highway, people had abandoned their cars and skidded off. Like, the off-ramp, there was a bunch of us waiting at the off-ramp forever, and we could not get off because all these other cars in front of us had spun out and were blocking it. So you had to go, like, there's two on Capitol Boulevard. You can go north or south. And so we realized the south lane was open and we all just went that way and looped around. But it was just, It was quite the ordeal, and I was just glad I had gassed up my car before that.
Oh,
honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah, everybody leaving at the same time is pretty much a bad idea.
Yeah, I think that was what caused the problem. And, you know, that Glenwood photo, I think the best part was all the memes people made.
Oh, yeah, those are
the
fantastic.
AT-AT walkers from Star Wars and just
Stay
the
Puft
Joker.
Marshmallow Man.
Stay Puft Marshmallow Man is a classic, yeah. But, you know, I think since then, everyone around here has gotten a lot more conservative about driving in the snow. They realize that, yes, even though we're in the South, the snow can hit us pretty hard and it can be pretty dangerous out there on the roads. But, you know, as a transit and transportation podcast, we want to talk about how people manage to get around in wintry weather. As we mentioned, things mostly just shut down. And as amusing as that might be to us Northerners, it makes more sense than spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on plow equipment that gets used maybe once a year so that, you know, it's a little easier for people to get out to the store.
Yeah, and Steve mentioned that too, so you'll hear more from him in a moment. I'd also love to hear from listeners out there who absolutely have to get to work, no matter the weather. How are you getting there? For example, some of the bus routes do tend to run on a limited basis during the snow. I'm linking to the Go Triangle inclement weather page, and they list some of the routes that the buses often can't travel during the snow, and that's because some of those routes might not be plowed as quickly. Maybe you walk, and that's great if the sidewalks aren't covered with snow from the plows. I think during one of the last snows, I saw a guy riding his bike out there, which seemed a little scary to me, but I have balance issues. So, you know, maybe he really had somewhere to be, and that was his best method.
Yeah, I'd rather, I think walking would be a lot safer, but, you know, if you got a ride, you got a ride. But, you know, we thought it'd be interesting to hear from both the City of Raleigh and the NCDOT about how they take care of snow preparation and removal. The City of Raleigh has 1,087 miles of streets to maintain. And of course, you know, they can't plow them all. But unfortunately, the city communication people never connected with us. But here's more from Steve at the NCDOT about how they handle winter weather. And the city is probably pretty similar, just on a smaller scale, of course.
And we're joined by Steve Abbott of the NCDOT. He's here today to talk to us about snow removal. Hey, Steve, how's it going?
It's going pretty well, if the snow would stay away.
Yeah, we're recording this on what's today, Tuesday the 16th. Mm-hmm. And so those of you who are listening are probably, well, you know, depending on what day we release this, the snow has already happened 2 to 3 inches so far is what they're saying.
Over 12 hours, maybe that's not too bad.
Bad for
the driving,
yeah. But it's fun timing because Steve can tell us exactly what the NCDOT is doing right now to prepare. So let's start with so the NCDOT, obviously, they're worried more about the interstates, but you do cover some of Raleigh's streets. Can you explain to listeners how all that works?
Well, obviously, if it's outside the city limits, most of those roads, not only Wake County and the rest of the state, are state roads. Unlike other states, though, we don't have any county roads. We don't have any township roads. It's all DOT, which is why in North Carolina, the DOT is actually the second largest road system in the country.
How many plows do you guys have?
Well, in Wake County, we've got about 75 trucks, graders, and we don't have plow trucks per se. We have dump trucks that are fitted and we put plows on them because, you know, states to the north will have year-round plow trucks, but we don't need them, hopefully, that much. So in Wake County alone, we have 75 trucks, and we bring in contractor trucks as well. Like we did a couple weeks ago, we have access to probably about 25 road graders that are good at pushing snow off the ice or off the roadways and regular trucks.
Okay, so mercenary snow plowers.
Oh, yeah, they do quite well. We use them quite a few places just because we don't really get a lot of snow in general, especially to the east of the Raleigh area down towards the coast.
Sure.
So when they do get a big snow event, we have people on retainer and we bring them in.
And we were just talking before we started recording about right now they're preparing the roads. Can you tell us a little bit more about all that process?
That has been a very big plus for us. If folks remember several years ago when the half inch or quarter inch of ice shut everything down for seemed like days and shut the interstates and kids never got home from school. And we didn't have brining then. But we have now. We have brining stations in all 100 counties. So we make it ourselves. And we simply take the salt that we would put on the road and mix it with water. It's about a 22% salt solution. We can adjust it if we need be. And we just mix it ourselves, load the trucks up. And for example, this week we were out actually on Martin Luther King Day and today and put down about 136,000 gallons of brine just in Wake County. And as you said, we look at the bigger roads. Our main concentration is what we call the bare pavement policy. That is the interstates, divided highways, busy U.S. routes, important NC routes. And those are the ones we brine. We don't have time in Wake County to get to many of the smaller roads. Brining is only good up to about 48 hours effectiveness. And in Wake County has more lane miles of roads than any other county in the state. We have 5,000 lane miles of roads just in this county, which is essentially almost like plowing or brining one lane from here to California and back.
Wow.
So it takes a while. And the other issue when you're not so much brining but plowing, you've got to go back and forth. If a snow event lasts 7 hours, just because you cleared at noon, it may be snow again. So we got to go back and we have to clear those roads before we even look at the others.
So you said it was 136,000 gallons of that 22% solution?
Exactly. That was put down. It's inexpensive. It's about 15 cents a gallon compared to other, you know, other ways to do things. You know, some states use beet juice and other kind of chemicals. There's another chemical that does better against really cold weather, but it's about 10 times the cost.
So how much salt does that take? Do you have a math on that?
That I don't know how much they mix in, but it's quite a bit. But again, we order lots of salt because we order them as a statewide group.
Right.
So we get a bit of a price discount compared to other states because we have to go back and, for example, after the last winter storm, we had to go back and resupply thousands of tons of salt.
Yeah, I was going to say, does the state ever run out of salt?
We don't.
Like a bad year, maybe?
We may run low, but we can ship salt from one county like we did this time because down east, they don't have as much supplies. They're not used to winter weather, and they got all the ice this last storm. Mm-hmm. And so we shipped hundreds of crew workers and trucks and salt, and we get the salt coming off the port in Wilmington. So if we need be, we have contract tractor trailers that will go get a salt, or we'll send some over. We have tractor trailers as well. We'll go get it ourselves to bring it back.
So the crews that are out there, some of them you said are contractors, but the full-time people, what are they normally doing? Like, what's their real job?
These are the same people who do the potholes, who do the mowing,
who
do the maintenance guys.
Yeah.
And so they're out there. So we won't be fixing too many potholes over the next couple of days. But they're the ones that do, and maybe other things are just in general maintenance for roads, cleaning up or fixing a guardrail or whatever. But obviously, when it comes to something like this, it's all hands on deck just to take care of the snow.
If the maintenance workers, there's got to be so many of them out at one time, do they have to like stay in a hotel in a different part of the state or anything like that? Or are you able to work it out? Because I know there's different divisions of the DOT that cover different parts of the state. So is it sort of staffed enough that you can not have to worry about
normally,
that kind of coordination?
Normally, it is like this one. We're not anticipating moving anybody around like we did for the ice thing. So every county is self-contained. In the division that Raleigh is in, if, let's say, we get a lot of snow here and up towards Person County or up to the north, they don't. They'll send crews down here.
Okay.
They'll work and they'll drive back that night. Mm-hmm. If we have to transfer someone like we did a couple of weeks ago, we sent 35 trucks from Wake County, went down to Division 2, which is Greenville and so forth. Then they'll stay the night. They'll put them up in hotels. And I think for a couple of places, what they'll do, they'll send them down there, and then they'll ship them back home, but leave the trucks down there. They'll put them in vans and send them home to save that. So at least they're home, and then they'll go back down the next day because you don't really want to be driving, you know, five miles a gallon dump trucks down and back for long distances. So we're saving some money that way. But we will, in a pinch, send people from other parts of the state. The last storm, we were sending people from the mountains because they didn't get the storm.
Yeah.
So they were coming all the way across the state with all their equipment to help lead the charge against the ice.
At the beginning, you mentioned we were talking about some of Raleigh streets. Is Highway 70 one of those?
70 depends on the section. And it's another thing that's maybe a state road, but the city can get to the roads quicker because they don't have as many. So they'll take care of it for us because they want it cleared in their section. So any of the roads that are state-owned, we're responsible for, but we have agreements with Cary and City of Raleigh and other communities because they want their roads done. And they say, yeah, we can get to that. We may not get to it 2 or 3 days. And I said, well, don't worry. We'll take care of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I just wondered, because you mentioned the ice storm, and I think you're talking about the 2005. Is that
probably
that's the one I've heard
right.
of? That's the huge incident.
Yes.
That's what triggered all the schools to start closing when they hear about it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
well,
immediately.
Adding to that, and it was actually, ironically, in that one, with I-40 and so forth, if people had gotten off of I-40, the roads were fine. We had people coming back from Greensboro. They just went on 64 and came into Raleigh. And they were fine, but people got on 40 and they were afraid to get off. And that's why 40 became gridlocked. I don't know, remember what the temperature was, but when we do put down that salt water brine, it's effective to about 2018 degrees, somewhere in there, and then it's not. And that's what happened the last storm. It got so cold, even throw a handful of salt on ice wouldn't melt it because it was too cold. And that's very tough to deal with because we can't plow ice. We can't do any of that stuff. That's why this storm or this winter event will be, we think, will be a lot better because it's going to stay. I think one night's going to go to 19. It's going to stay in the 20s. So all night long, that salt will help melt and the brine will keep the stuff from adhering to the roadway.
Okay. So hopefully Thursday we'll wake up and everything will be fine.
Yeah. A little better.
Yeah.
So when it gets that cold, if let's say this winter event, if temperatures are dropping down into the low teens, would you have to use that more expensive solution? Or
no, we're stuck. That's what happened down east. They really know in Raleigh, the roads were pretty much clear by that Saturday after. They weren't clear until Tuesday or Wednesday down east because you can't plow it. Salt's not going to work on it.
Yeah.
And even in the morning when your crews are ready to work, until the temperature got into the 20s and salt could start melting it a little bit, there's really not much you can do to the ice.
Mm-hmm. So how does that compare to other states then? Because those of us who are from the north or, you know, at least the Midwest, somewhere that's not the south, mm-hmm. we're all used to, I mean, it just snows so much. You have to go. You have to go to work. You still have to go to school, unless it's really bad. And I'm not trying to go on a rant. I promise. So how is what equipment did they have that I'm just not forgetting, you know, just not remembering because I was a kid and I didn't care. I just wanted school to close.
They have more of what the equipment we have, and they have more, and they might use a different type of salt brine. They make their own there. The other thing is the drivers up there are used to it. You mentioned schools. I grew up in Pennsylvania. They put chains on the school buses. It could snow 6 inches. We went.
Yeah.
Down here, they're not equipped for it.
Right.
The schools themselves have to, we may have the roads clear, but if the schools aren't ice-free and snow-free, the roads are clear, but the schools are going to be closed.
Right.
So it's more having the personnel and the equipment. We don't have huge fleets. It's, here, as I said, we have 75 trucks and access to more here in Raleigh and Wake County. But the Northerners, they're just used to it. They'll go out. And also depends on your state. If you have one of those, each township has it. Like in Pennsylvania has each township. Well, they only have to take care of their little section roads.
Right.
And so that's a big difference than what we have here.
I mean, it snows, it feels like, I'll have to check the climate data, once or twice a year here. So that's not, the investment just doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a couple of years in Raleigh in the last, I think, 6-7 years, it didn't snow at all. We might get some little freezing rain and salt. And that's why sometimes when people question why we don't, we could spend a lot more money, taxpayer money, get more stuff, but it could sit there, buy another 50 snow plows. But if it doesn't snow one winter, that stuff sits there and it can't be used for anything else.
What about when was the brining stuff? When did we start doing that?
Pretty much after the big ice debacle in Raleigh. And we probably an experiment because you're always looking at other states, what they're doing. There's some experiment. This would be incredibly expensive. Most of this in Europe, they heat the roads. Like, you have heated floors
that.
In your home.
Super cool looking. Yeah.
They heat it, but that's, imagine the upkeep and maintenance. So that's, who knows that? I just saw something in California experimenting with painting the roads white.
Oh, yeah.
Because it reflects the heat and helps the roads last longer. But then, you need to scrape. You have a lot of black marks in the road and people will be upset. Oh, that road looks horrible because it's snow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So every state's experimenting. If in one state comes up, hey, we just found, like whoever came up with brining, and or a new chemical comes out or something that melts ice quicker or helps break up ice, probably in the north, they probably have some of their equipment that chops down almost like a a piece of equipment coming in and just shreds the ice.
Yeah.
It's not worth it to us to have it because how often are we closed down by ice?
Well, part of the reason I was curious is because it wasn't 2005. It was a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. We had a bigger snow event.
Snowmageddon.
Yes. Yeah. This is the one with the photo on Glenwood viral. And that's why I was asking about Glenwood. I'm like, okay, so what happened there exactly?
Well, Glenwood is not one of our primary roads. Okay. It's not.
It's the city's fault.
Well, we'll get to it. But because we had so much snow, we were staying on I-40 and 440 and we didn't get to that.
Yeah, that was a big snow.
You might get a kick. There was a local TV station, which I won't identify. They actually came out to do a story that did we ever consider taking out the hills on Glenwood so that wouldn't happen.
Oh, I'm and sorry.
The reporter apologized because you could tell it was something from management. The reporter said, "I'm sorry. I'm really sorry to have to ask you."
I'd be so embarrassed to be asking question.
He's a real good reporter, and so he said this and what it was, and I think pretty much sure there was management from that station was sliding down that hill. And we sort of said, well, we could take out the hill and take all the expensive trees, the expensive homes, and this was right after it hadn't snowed for two winters in a row.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Any other fun stories to share?
Basically, it's the snow thing. Of the people around here who grew up here, a lot of them do not know how to drive in the snow, and that's why you have – that's the other issue why it takes snow. People get real upset. They're trapped in their homes. And explaining the pavement policy, that's why if you're living in a development that are state roads, you're the last roads we get to. So you have to have patience because it doesn't make sense to clear your road and you get out to US 1 and it's snow covered.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing, trying to educate the folks that Wake County and is such a big area around Raleigh, because it's a big county and it's not developed like Charlotte. We have a lot more lane miles of roads than even Charlotte does, because it's so built up. We have a lot of woods and things like that. So that's the big thing, the impatience of drivers. And then the other thing is the safety of it.
Right.
You know, there's people who think the four-wheel drive means, hey, well, ice won't bother me.
Right.
Ice doesn't care. It's going to take your car.
Yeah.
Ice will do that. And just to clarify, we're not saying that Southerners don't know how to drive in the snow, because plenty of people, and who was I talking to the other day, was telling me the story that the cops were out the last snow event, beginning of the year, and it was all Northerners who thought they knew how to drive in the snow, so causing a problem. So let's all take a step back and let's just
not
say,
but it's a combination because it's the Northerner who thinks and all of a sudden slides into the Southerner, or the Southerner who really doesn't know to and gets the Northerner impatient, and it's pretty simple. If you don't, you've heard it from the governor, from the mayor of Raleigh, from everybody. If you don't have to go out, don't. If you do go out, go very slow.
Yeah.
Don't turn the wheel. And a big thing that we're pushing now is don't get too close to the car in front of you, because if it starts to do a donut or fishtail and you're behind it, it just spins backwards a little bit, you're going to be meeting your insurance agent.
Yeah, which is no fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Steve, for coming in today. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate it. And just thank you for giving us a chance to get the message out and just tell people to be safe. And it goes away pretty quickly. Usually.
Yes, usually.
Usually even when a few days, the sun, that's the biggest help to us is the Mother Nature. That's why some people we've never been in some developments, because by the time we can get to them, it's warmed up. And even if it's below freezing, the sunshine will melt.
Yeah.
It's because salt's on the roads, and that's what helps quite a bit. In a lot of cases, even though it stops snowing, it's the next day when things freeze again. So, and ice is the worst thing, because you can drive, if you're smart, on 2 or 3 inches of snow without too much problem. But the ice is thing, you know, even veteran Northerners can't handle the ice.
Thanks again to Steve for coming in to explain how all that works. My fingers are crossed that we are done with winter weather for this year, but we shall see.
And if you have thoughts about our discussion today, please share them with us. You can email us at inboundraleigh@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. If you're a fan of the show, please take a moment to review us on iTunes. Don't complain about the sound quality or your podcast listening platform. Thanks again, and we'll catch you next time.